Good afternoon. My name is Hugh Forrest. I am the director of the South by Southwest Interactive Festival. I want to say welcome to the 2012 edition of our little party. Before Baratunde Thurston takes over for today's keynote presentation, a few thanks are most definitely in order. First, it is important to thank the Army of Volunteers. We have approximately 2,000 volunteers out there who are making the show happen. These people come here from all over Austin, from all across the country, all around the world. They sacrifice their time to make this event happen. As capable as our staff is, the event could not happen without our volunteers, so please thank them when you see them. Second, and even more important, I want to thank you, the attendees, who truly make this event click. So thank you for bringing your world-changing innovations and mind-expanding inspirational thinking to Austin in March. Thank you for the passion and the energy and enthusiasm that you have for this event. Thank you for being so open to meeting new people and exploring new things and new ideas while you're in Austin, as well as the other 51 weeks of the year. Thank you for what you do to make South by Southwest such a highlight for so many people. Thank you for being the people that everyone wants to learn from now. You guys are the rock stars of the future, and the future is now. Please give yourself a big round of applause because you deserve it. I want to also thank everyone for being so patient in yesterday's registration badge pickup madness. The rain brought so many people indoors that things were a lot slower than what is acceptable by our standards. We have refined our registration badge check-in process a lot over the last few years, but yesterday showed that we still need to improve this a little more. I assure you that the process will be more efficient in 2013. Again, for those of you who are stuck in line for so long, thanks for maintaining your cool while you waited to pick up your credentials. Also, at the risk of sounding flip, thanks for helping bring much-needed rain to Central Texas. As you may know, we have been in the worst drought in our history over the last 2 years, so the city of Austin appreciates your help in generating this much-needed precipitation. Other things that we always appreciate are your feedback and input and suggestions. You can email me anytime at hugh@sxsw.com. South by Southwest is a community event. The strength of the event is the community. The more input and feedback and brainstorms and suggestions we have, the better we can be for the future. We'll also want to say that for 2013, we begin the panel picker entry process on Monday, June 25th. As for 2012, South by Southwest is an ever-changing beast. Stay attuned to these changes by watching the three-minute update on the South by Southwest website every day. As well, some users were experiencing a bug in the South by Southwest Go app yesterday. That bug has now been fixed, so please download the most current version. Finally, remember to check out the Screenburn Arcade, which is all about gaming. That goes on today and tomorrow at the Palmer Event Center, which is just across the river. And Palmer is also host of the opening party tonight, is the host space for the opening party tonight. That'll be a great time. The rain will stop. It is covered. Lots of great people, lots of great networking, lots of great fun. Now it is my great pleasure to turn over the microphone to Baratunde Thurston. I last saw him at the Shorty Awards in New York about 11 months ago, where he was being awarded the Foursquare Mayor of the Year. He is a longtime member of the South by Southwest community, having served on many panels over the years. He is a past MC of the South by Southwest Interactive Awards, as well as Frey Cafe. He is witty, he is eloquent, and he is very, very passionate about his beliefs. These are all qualities that we value very highly at South by Southwest. Baratunde is also author of the new book, How to Be Black. He will be doing a couple of book readings while at South by Southwest. I will let him tell you the exact times and locations of these book signings. Please join me in welcoming our first keynote speaker for South by Southwest 2012. That is Baratunde Thurston.
I am a very social dude. I love people. I love interacting with them. I love finding out what their passions are. I find it hard to not be social. I'm like a reverse introvert. But there was this one day a few months ago, something happened I have to share with you. I went to a bar, and I didn't go for the people. I just went for the alcohol. I just wanted a little relationship with whiskey to tune the world out. And unfortunately for me, I was seated next to a very chatty person. She was full of questions and full of excitement about everything. That's the worst overlap for somebody trying to be antisocial. The first thing she said, "So what do you do?" I hate that as an ice-breaking question. I just hate it so much. And I didn't express that hate to her, but I did feel it. I didn't say, "Hey, look, I'm over 30 years old. My friend circle is locked. This relationship isn't going to happen. Let's both cut our losses and move on." I didn't say that because I'm not cruel, because I still like people even when I hate them. So instead, I treated her the way you treat a parent who has gone 20 minutes over the allotted phone conversation time. Monosyllabic, disengaged responses, right? "So what do you do?" "Comedian." "That's so amazing. That must be so much fun. Is it so much fun making people laugh?" "It's cool." "Would you have a day job? I know lots of comics have day jobs. What's your day job?" "I work at The Onion." "Whoa! I love that website. It's so funny. I check it all the time. It must be crazy there. Is it crazy? Do you make each other laugh all the time?" "I get my health care there." "Well, where do you live? What neighborhood do you live in?" "Brooklyn." "Brooklyn, we go hard. I love Brooklyn. Brooklyn's coming up. I got friends that live in Williamsburg. Do you love it? Is Brooklyn amazing?" "I sleep there." "Well, where'd you live before Brooklyn? You come here from somewhere else. Where'd you live?" "Boston." "A lot of schools in Boston. You went to school in Boston, didn't you? Where'd you go to school? Where'd you go to school?" "Harvard." "Holy shit. You mean to tell me you work for The Onion, you went to Harvard, you're like the whitest black guy I've ever met." That happened, and I had fantasies of slowly strangling her to death and reminding her that I'm also the last black guy you'll ever meet. But I chose freedom instead. I chose freedom. I wrote a book instead, and it has a very simple message that I think resonates. I think it really communicates what I'm about. I want to go back. I've got a longer story to share with you today. This is my great-grandfather. His name was Benjamin Lonesome. He was born in the late 1800s in Carolyn County, Virginia, according to our family, born a slave and taught himself to read. Moved to Washington, D.C. in 1896. Taught himself to read. Had two daughters, one of whom was my mother's mother, Lorraine Martin. Now, in 2005, when my own mother passed, I found out, my sister and I both at the same time, going through these files, that our grandmother was an historic figure She was the first black employee in the U.S. Supreme Court building. Had no idea this was sitting in our family history. When the newspaper asked her, "What's it like to work in such an august building?" she said, "It's awe-inspiring." When they asked her supervisor what she thought of having the first Negro woman work in this building for her, she said, "It's just fine. Different expectations." Now, my grandmother was a proud woman. She was active in her community. She worked in the Sunday school. She traveled a lot. She didn't always pay the most attention to raising her daughter, my mother, who looked like this. Exactly. Oh, you see where I get it from now, right? It's the cheeks, yo. It's the cheeks. That's my mother, Arnita Lorraine Thurston, at 4 years old. Her mother sent her off in very rare fashion to boarding school at age 8 in rural Pennsylvania. Now, the communication style at the time meant there were letters that my sister and I also found. I want to share with you one of those letters. This is what an 8-year-old Arnita Thurston wrote to her mother. "Dear mother, I am having fun, but I am mad at you. I do not like it here. Please send me some cookies and a Sparkle Plenty doll. They can have dolls here. Please send them because I don't have anyone to play with. Yours truly, Arnita." And that's an adorable story. It's a sad story. She has terrible penmanship. Just atrocious. I don't care if she was 8. But I really want you to focus on the lower left corner of this letter because there is beautiful penmanship there and a different typeface and a different color. It says "over." And when you flip that letter over, you get this: "If your little girl is dissatisfied, we'd be glad to have her bed for those who are anxious to come. Signed, Sister." This is like the NSA wiretapping in 1948. Clearly, my mom's demands for cookies and dolls was a national security threat that demanded such surveillance and interference. My mom didn't stay long in that environment, but for a time, she played the part of the modern, acceptable Negro woman. She worked on her high school newspaper. She wore a dress below the knee. She carried baskets around on the National Mall, probably full of conformist and loving attitudes toward her country. But then her social network changed. She started hanging out with dudes that looked like this. This man's name is El Dorado. Like the car. Some of you think you're cool. Some of you think you've known people who were cool. You aren't, and they weren't. This is the last cool dude to walk the earth. Look at him again. The shoes, the pants, the shirt, the fro, the length of him. He makes me want to rock a newspaper, typewriter, and landline telephone just to get back to that essence of cool where cool peaked in 64. A man named El Dorado made a phone call. My mom's changes and her evolution didn't stop there. She kept changing the circle of people she communicated and socialized with to folks like this. This is my mother and her best friends in the African Liberation Day parade walking down 16th Street in Washington, D.C., across from what is now Malcolm X Park. And right there in the heart of it all, my mama. If the revolution isn't televised, it may be photographed. You want your hair done up just so, because you never know what could come next. Now, her politics influenced my life and my sister's life and the city in which we lived at the time. Most kids had books, see Spot Run. We didn't have Spot in my house. Spot was like the oppressor. This is one of the first books I ever had. It's called This Is Apartheid. That will mess with you as a little kid. You know what I'm saying? I'm a little revolutionary, militant Toon Day running around like, "Yes, my brothers and sisters, we must only eat Cocoa Puffs, all black everything." You know, like, what? I was just angry in general. I was like, my mama made me this way. Outside of our household, this was the common scene. A scene we've seen play out through a lot of American cities over a lot of decades. I remember when The Wire came on and it threw me off. You know, because I was like, I've seen this show before in 3D. It's like my neighborhood was just like The Wire, right? We had the police corruption. We had the murders. We had the drugs. Everything The Wire had except for universal critical acclaim and the undying love of white people who saw it, right? My neighborhood was missing that. And so what did I do with all this? This grandfather who taught himself to read, grandmother who works in this barrier-breaking role, my mom who's in the streets, I go about and start helping make and distribute fake news. Ancestors are so proud. I've been at the Onion over 4 years now, and I've had a chance to be a part of some great stories, some history-making events. It's been my great privilege not only to play the role of Cooter Obama, but also President Obama, the mayor of Detroit, all three Supremes. I am all the black people in the Onion. I got like 50 jobs. The Onion's there to cover things in a way that other places won't when you look at what's happening in the world today. Right? We have seen stories about Iran worried U.S. might be building 8,500 nuclear weapons. Or this article generating thousands of dollars in ad revenue simply by mentioning new iPad. Or this one, which is really deep and near and dear to my heart. Man recalls simpler time when he only masturbated to still images on the internet. We miss those times when porn was static. Life is complicated now. And then this story. This is an amazing moment. Headline, Planned Parenthood opens $8 billion abortion plex. We ran this story almost a year ago in light of the funding challenges on Capitol Hill about Planned Parenthood, and this was a satirical take on it. Some people took it as true, and then the story died down. And when the Komen Foundation got all controversial a few weeks and months ago, the story found a resurgence online when a senator, actually a House of Representatives member, thought it was real and posted it to his Facebook because he's an idiot. But the more interesting part of that was his fans on Facebook were like, how did you get elected? It was you. You put him there. You're his fan on Facebook. That's how it happens. You gave him cover and support. But beyond that, what was really inspiring and exciting about this wasn't what we wrote about. It wasn't the way we distributed. It wasn't the amazing art. It was what the community did with this. Someone took this abortionplex concept and put it on Yelp. Took all the details in the story, created a venue called the Abortionplex in Topeka, Kansas, and then hundreds of people reviewed it in voice. This is the longest review of a non-existent place, I think, that exists in the world. Pros and cons, the buffet, like other Yelpers, I would agree to skip the fish, the rock climbing wall. I heard they're opening a Hot Topic to attract a younger crowd. You got people talking about the drinks, the taco, the length of the line. It goes on and on. We had unintentionally created a platform for other people's expression and comedy and satire. Now, what's fun and amazing when we do it, and we're not the only ones to do it. The Daily Show is killing it. Colbert with his super PAC work is killing it. All sorts of online folks are killing it. Comedians have often played this rule of communicating truth indirectly. And I want to share something with you guys about another group of comics who are taking this to the next level. Take a look at this clip. This is an organization called Laughter Against the Machine.